The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Our Friday night family movie is The Mighty Ducks from 1992. Emilio Estevez stars as a peewee hockey coach that turns a team of kids that can't skate or score into competing for a district championship, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, we're about a minute away from the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the morning here Eastern time. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol today. This is Get Up on ESPN. For those of you tuning in expecting to see First Take, they'll be coming on in an hour for a full 2 hours. Our schedule's all moved around a little bit these days with Korean baseball. So we'll be here with you for the next hour and then a full 2 hour First Take. So plenty of time for plenty of sports conversation. And again, my thanks to Christopher Jackson, who played George Washington in the original cast of Hamilton. We just had him on. The original Broadway cast will be streaming on Disney Plus this weekend. And I'll just say it again, not because anyone's telling me to do it, but because I was privileged enough to see it in the theater. Whatever you've heard about it, it's better. Enjoy it this weekend. Meanwhile, we will talk about some football with you. The NFL world is still buzzing about Cam Newton's decision to sign with the New England Patriots. Some have raised questions about how Newton will fit into the Patriot way and Bill Belichick's specific style of coaching. Tim Kuhn is one of those raising those questions. In an article on ESPN.com, he wrote, "There's always the chance he chafes at Belichick's humorless managerial style, like so many before him. But there's nothing in Newton's professional history that indicates he can't play through a few caustic mumbles and disappointed dad glares." He went on to write, "If Newton doesn't revive his career in Foxborough, it isn't going to be because the organizational philosophy can't withstand a guy who wears fancy hats." Earlier this week here, I had Randy Moss on talking about what it was like for him playing for Belichick.
Bill brought all the players down to the same level. You know, he didn't make me feel that I was better than the team. Never made Tom feel like he was better than the team. He criticized all the good players. You know, the last guys on the roster, he criticized them also. When I became a Patriot, I thought I knew the game of football. He's going to enhance your studying habits and enhance you as a student of the game.
I know one knows this team better than our Mike Reese, who covers them for us. And Mike, you just heard Randy Moss there. What comparisons can you draw from his experience with Belichick to the questions that some people are bringing up now with Cam and the quote-unquote Patriot way?
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, 20 years covering Bill Belichick's teams, and I can't think of a better comparison than Randy Moss to Cam Newton. People forget, back in 2007, they were asking the same question. How would Randy fit with the Patriots? Would he put the team first? like Bill Belichick always asks his players to do. Would he make it all business and all football? He did, and it turned out to be a great fit. And the other thing that Randy Moss did that people might forget, he was supposed to make $9 million in Oakland that year. He trimmed his salary to $3 million. You make that comparison now to Cam. Look what Cam Newton is doing. He's saying, I'm willing to come to New England on a contract that's 1 year with a base value of $1.05 million with only $550,000 guaranteed. The comparisons to me, Greeny, are striking.
Yeah, he's in. I mean, Cam has made the commitment that I'm going to go there and I'm going to make this thing work in a situation where he really has a chance to play, it would seem. How did the Patriots ultimately come to the decision that Cam was the right fit for them?
Well, the economics are a huge part of it, so start there. But the other thing they did, Greeny, is I'm told they cast a wide net. They reached out to a lot of people around the league that have been around Cam to see how he would fit and what type of player and person they were getting. One example, Chris Hogan won two Super Bowls with the Patriots, 2016 and 2018, played for the Panthers last year with Cam. Who would be better to give them a feel for what they're getting in this situation?
And just quickly, because it just jumped into my head, you know, Scott Zolak, we played the sound at the very beginning of our show today, suggesting that if Cam Newton doesn't win the job from Jared Stidham, that he doesn't know that Cam Newton will even be on the team. What was your reaction just to Zolak saying that, and to what was other people's reaction to those comments?
My reaction would be nothing would surprise me. I'll give you my best Bill Belichick, Greeny. Last time I checked, our first game isn't until September 13th against the Miami Dolphins. So why we need to figure this out now? We'll see how it goes.
That, you know what? You really have been covering that guy an awfully long time. That's very well played. Mike Reese, thank you very much. Great to talk to you, as always. And let me get my guys in here, Neek and D. Wood. Neek, what do you think of that conversation? The idea that the Patriot way and Cam's somewhat flamboyant personality might not necessarily go together.
Yeah, I mean, as the article said, there's no history of Cam having any issue with leadership. I'm surprised that people are coming to this particular conclusion. It's a possibility that they fit perfectly together because they're so different. And I think Cam brings something to the game that Bill Belichick values, and not many people appreciate that. I know Stephen Ruiz from For the Win posted a video of Bill Belichick chastising his team for not celebrating and showing enough emotion on the field. So, like, Bill Belichick understands the value of having an emotional center like Cam Newton, and they definitely lost that in Tom Brady. So I think Cam Newton's going to come in, and whether he's supermanning or fist pumping or smiling or handing balls in the back of the end zone to little kids, I think all of that is stuff that Bill Belichick recognizes that he can't bring to the team, and a guy like Cam Newton can. So I think they fit well together.
You played there, D. Wood, at the beginning of the Belichick era in New England. What do you expect?
I expect it to be a good fit, and I think what Randy Moss said was exactly right. Bill Belichick has a way of just bringing everyone down to a level playing field. I think Cam is going to go into a situation where he's going to be coached by the best coach that's ever coached this game, by an offensive coordinator that knows how to adapt and take advantage of his unique skill set. And this is a situation where the Patriots haven't had a player like this in their, you know, Bill Belichick's 10-year tenure with the organization. So I think both Cam Newton and Bill Belichick are both excited to really kind of get this marriage going, because it's going to be something that we haven't seen from New England.
I agree. And I think it's important to point out the distinction here that there has been, I've never met Cam Newton in my life, but there is nothing that I'm aware of that has ever suggested that he was anything other than completely professional and all the rest of that, and a good leader and very dedicated to his craft and all of that in Carolina. The flamboyance comes from, you know, the Superman thing and the outfits that we were just showing and all that kind of stuff. He has a huge, larger-than-life personality. But those two things don't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive, Dominique. And so I think that when people bring that up, they're acting like, well, those two things don't fit together, and I don't think they necessarily have anything to do with each other.
Yeah, I think people are jumping to conclusions that they don't quite understand based on the appearance of something. And Bill Belichick dresses uniquely also as far as coaches are concerned. So I think he could understand, while it's on the other end of the spectrum from Cam Newton, Bill Belichick in his hoodies is something that you normally don't see from a coach. So maybe they'll come together and Cam will bring Bill Belichick's style up a little bit. And hopefully Bill can bring Cam's style back into the realm of reality a little bit. And maybe we'll see some guys in some decent outfits this coming season.
That is worth pointing out. Damian Woody, are there two people who are less fashion similar than Bill Belichick and Cam Newton. Literally anywhere on the face of planet Earth, could you ever find two people dressed less similarly?
No, absolutely not. But I am interested in seeing this combination going together because someone is going to rub off on the other person. I'm interested to see who's going to rub off more on the other person. I think that's big news in New England.
Okay. What would any of us give to see Bill Belichick just once dressed as Cam? Just once. Just Mike Reese. What are the chances? Give me the odds that Bill Belichick walks into a press conference and we just showed some of the looks in one of the legendary Cam Newton looks.
I would say not in a press conference, Greeny, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did it in a team meeting. The next time you have Randy Moss on the show, you have to ask him about the time that Bill Belichick showed up at a Halloween party with players dressed up in costume. Bill Belichick will play along, but usually it's in that closed setting behind the scenes with the players.
Yeah, D. Wood, you played for him. Again, everyone who knows him really well, and I know a lot of people who know him well, I certainly don't, tells me how funny he is when, you know, the cameras and the Mike Reese's of the world aren't around him all the time. Is he funny?
Yes, Greeny, he has a sense of humor. Like, everyone buys into the Bill Belichick that we see in the press conferences and all those type of things, and they think that that's him. He has a whole different side that you just don't, the public really doesn't see. He is a funny guy. He says a lot of slick things that make you laugh. So I know what the real Bill Belichick is like, and I think he's going to have a lot of fun with Cam Newton.
All right, Dominique Foxworth, here's the real question. If I told you that for 1 year, a full year, you had to either dress every single day as Bill Belichick or as Cam Newton, which would you do?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I think I'd go with the Bill Belichick. I'm a little scared. I think I'm so handsome that I don't need all these accoutrements around. I just let my face speak in a dirty hoodie. Rather than, if I was not this good looking, I might go with a fancy hat so people would be distracted from these looks.
D-Wood, which would be more your style?
Oh, Greeny, you're talking about a guy that wears like Nike gear all the time, man. So I'm rolling with Bill Belichick. Could you imagine me wearing some hat or something tied around my head like Cam Newton? No, man. I know big fellas, we like looking clean and smooth, but no, man, that's not my style.
I don't know if I could imagine it, but now I am, and I'm enjoying imagining it, to be honest with you, and I'm actually hoping to see it. I think we now know the theme for our Halloween show this year. One way or another, just to sort of finish up the thought, because we're not going to get to anything, because I just kept us on this for a while, because candidly, I really liked it. We are all of the mind that this fit is going to be good. If Cam, and Nick, I'll just come to you on this. If Cam is healthy, and that's the big if, because the question with him was really not, is he hurt? The question with him is he done? Has he just gotten hit so many times that he just can't recapture the magic? But if that isn't the case, then we are all of a mind that he is going to be their quarterback week one, and they're going to be very good with him. Yes?
Yeah, I think we all agree. And history doesn't necessarily support what we believe for kind of athletic dual threat quarterbacks like Cam Newton. They're not really that productive into their 30s, but I would look at Cam Newton as somebody different. Like, he's a body that we haven't seen before. And while he's had some injuries recently, I don't think that we can compare him to other quarterbacks because he looks like a defensive end. He looks like Julius Peppers if you cut his head off. So I think that he's going to step out there and be able to put together enough running ability to make this offense dynamic. And we can't forget about how good that defense is. I think they're going to be a threat in the AFC right now.
We will find out. Mike Reese, thanks again. Great to see you. We'll take a quick break here on Get Up. Lots more to do. Will Antonio Brown be catching passes this season from Russell Wilson? Dominique will answer that and other questions in a moment. And the first one he's going to try and answer is this. Here's Sneaky Hembo for the morning. Who's the only player in NFL history to average more catches per game than Antonio Brown? Nick will go after that and more in a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back, and Dominique is ready to try and answer the Sneaky Hembo question for the morning. Who's the only player in NFL history to average more catches per game than Antonio Brown? Neek, what do you think?
I think it's an easy question. I think he's trying to distract me. I could get pulled in many directions. Chris Carter comes to mind, somebody like that. But I'm going to go with Brandon Marshall. Got him. Dunked on Hembo.
He's not even close. He's not even in the top five. Michael Thomas is the answer, and he's playing now. Julio Jones, Christian McCaffrey, and Odell Beckham Jr. round out the list. So they're actually all active players. Dominique goes down hard. Let's see if he can answer any of these questions now.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
All right, see if we do better with these. Dominique, I will ask you a series of hard-hitting questions, and let's see how we do. Let's start with Antonio Brown. He posted that video working out with Russell Wilson yesterday. So very simple question. Should the Seahawks sign AB?
Nah, it's a very simple answer, no. Like, unless Antonio Brown can play offensive line, that's not a position that they need. They have a really solid receiving core, and they have an offense that really is not designed to throw the ball that often. So I'm not sure why they would need a receiver like this. As much as they could use a receiver with this level of talent, I'm not sure that all the other stuff is worth it for a team that doesn't need another passing threat. They need offensive line help, and maybe they should throw the ball a little bit more, but they've had a lot of success with a kind of run-centric offense. But I do like watching AB catch those perfectly thrown deep balls from Russ.
Yeah, all that you're seeing there was from AB's Instagram feed from yesterday. They were working out together. I actually watched a while. Or watch it over and over again.
I feel like he could make a career out of going to find quarterbacks and running routes and putting out videos. Do they pay him for this? Like, he's got a career in just doing IG videos for quarterbacks.
That's a good question. You're absolutely right, and we'll see. But I don't know that he's getting back in one way or the other. All right, next. If you had to bet an amount of money that Matt, you have to bet your house on who gets to the Super Bowl first. Cam and the Patriots, Brady and the Bucks.
I got to go with Cam. I think that it's a bet, frankly, more than it's a bet on Cam. It's partially a bet on Cam's health, but it's a lot more a bet on the Patriots' infrastructure, Bill Belichick's ability, and the relative ease that I think they can, with which they can go win the AFC East and potentially get easier matchups in the playoffs and maybe even get a first-round bye. I don't see that happening for Tom Brady and the NFC South. I think they're going to lose that division and get in on the wild card and have three rounds of playoffs. It's going to be very tough. So it's not as much of faith in Cam as it is versus Brady as it is faith in the Patriots over the Bucks.
That was the argument you just made in our cabinet battle.
Gotta win.
With George Washington. Okay. Finally, I want to show this video. This is Broncos rookie wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. He released a workout video yesterday, and I watched it in just a combination of awe and sadness. The sadness is the Jets passed on him, and that was the guy I really wanted them to take. The awe is I can't fathom walking up to the line of scrimmage or anywhere, watching the size and athleticism of that man and thinking, my job is to stop him from doing anything he wants to do. So what is one word, Dominique, you would use to describe your mindset on how you go about defending that guy?
Prayer. I think that's the best move. Like, I don't know who you believe in, Jesus, Allah. I don't know, Ganesh, if you're a Hindu. You pray to somebody to help figure out how you can stop a player like this. But to be completely honest with you, to be straightforward, obviously I had to play against guys like this or guys who are as good or better than this. And you win these matchups earlier in the week. Like, you're not going to outrun them, not going to overpower them or outjump them. So you got to outthink them. And it's using film study leading up to the game to narrow down the possibilities. Because while if I walk up to the line and I don't know what Jerry Jeudy's about to run, I have zero chance of stopping it. If I walk up to the line and I've been able to pre-snap, narrow it down to two or three routes, there's a 50% chance, at least, if we can get some pressure on them, that maybe you have a chance of stopping it. But there aren't very many corners, if any, that can walk up to a player like that and be able to stop him without using some sort of hints or tells to give you an idea of what they like to do with that player in that situation.
That's really important. So what you're saying is if you know what he's doing or you guess correctly, that it's an educated guess, you can stop it. No matter how big and strong and fast he is, if you guess correctly on what he's going to do, you'll stop it.
Yeah, well, you're saying you like me or you like
me? No, not like me. Obviously, me, my job is never going to be that.
that you have a chance of stopping someone like that. And it's also important to understand is whenever anyone asks me questions about playing who the toughest receivers I played against or something like that in the NFL, to be honest with you, the toughest receivers are the ones with the best quarterbacks. Like, I have a harder time with good quarterbacks than good receivers. So as amazing as Jerry Jeudy is, if Drew Locke can't pull it together, he won't have a good season. And I would love to match up against somebody, a really great receiver with a bad quarterback, because then we come out of the game saying, hey, you locked him down. And I'm like, no, the quarterback locked him down. But thank you. I'll take the credit.
That's really good insight into that. All right. Thank you, Dominic. I want everyone to see something that happened early this morning. Maya Moore, as you probably know, walked away from the WNBA in 2019, in part because she wanted to help Jonathan Irons fight a 1998 conviction for burglary and assault with a weapon that she believed he did not commit. This was actually yesterday. After serving 22 years of a 50-year sentence, Irons walked free, and Moore was there to greet him. I was watching this in the car this morning. She falls to her knees at the beginning of the video and is overwhelmed by emotion. And it is just one of the most spectacular things you will ever see. A judge had overturned his conviction in March. He was 16 at the time of the incident, was tried as an adult, was convicted by an all-white jury. Again, Maya Moore has put so much of her life on hold to fight this battle. And yesterday, you see the reaction there. Moore and Irons together were on GMA this morning.
In that moment, I really felt like I could rest. I mean, I've been standing, and we've been standing for so long, and it was an unplanned moment where I just felt relief, and just, it was a kind of a worshipful moment, just dropping to my knees and just being so thankful that we made it. And, you know, when I stepped away two springs ago, I just really wanted to shift my priorities to be able to be more available and present to show up for things that I felt were mattering more than being a professional athlete. And so this is obviously one of the biggest and most direct results of that. Everything is built on relationship. And so the first step for anybody, whether you have a huge platform as a pro or you are someone who is just getting involved in understanding some of the restoration issues we have in our country, I would say get to know somebody who isn't exactly like you and doesn't come from the same background as you. Educate yourself and then just keep showing up and finding ways to show up for people. And your voice will come out of that relationship and out of your pursuit to seeing people who aren't exactly like you.
There's a lot to adjust to out here, and I'm gonna take it slow. And I'm surrounded by people I know who love me and have my best interests in mind. And so I'm gonna listen to them and study and learn all I can. And when I get the time and the opportunity and the resources and the provision, I want to be able to reach back and help other people. I want to advocate for people who are less fortunate. I want to help people with the cases. I want to speak to positive change and be a part of the rebuilding process from where we're at right now, because there's so much greater coming in the horizon, and I see it. Even in the darkness, I was able to see it, and I know we're going. We shouldn't give up. We should keep going.
Just extraordinary, and the reaction has been everywhere from within and outside of the world of sports. This is Basketball Hall of Famer Tamika Catchings tweeting, I don't know how many times I've watched this video, but this is impact. We've witnessed so much racial injustice and oppression. This is action. We say we want real change. Step up and be intentional about it. Maya, thank you for leading the way. For Jonathan, hashtag free at last, hashtag bless. This is a post from a former U.S. women's soccer star, Abby Wambach, who tweeted, this story is one that we all need to watch. Maya Moore, you are a hero. Jonathan Irons is free. Warriors coach Steve Kerr simply tweeted, Maya is a champion. It's extraordinary. If you haven't watched the video yet, it will move you, I promise. All right, we will take a short break here. Coming up to the NBA, we will go. Giannis calling this road to the finals the toughest ever. Does Stephen A. agree? He'll tell you. He'll be live next. Get up on ESPN. This main event bout, which is set for tonight, was called off on June 18th after LaPierre's trainer tested positive for COVID-19. Now it is back on. Mick LaPierre against Jose Pedraza, who's already won two world titles. His quest for a third continues tonight. The prelims begin at 8 Eastern. You'll see the fight right here on ESPN, the ESPN app, and ESPN Deportes. And with that, we approach the bottom of the hour, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time in just a few seconds. I am Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up. We're in Bristol, Connecticut. here on ESPN with you. For those of you tuning in expecting to see First Take, they're coming your way in exactly a half hour in their entirety. So a full two-hour edition. And actually, Mr. Stephen A. Smith is standing by right now, and we will chat with him right after we get up and go through some of the news in the world of sports today. The NFL is planning on shortening their preseason by 2 weeks in order to give players more time than normal to get into football shape. Formal announcement of the plan is awaiting approval from the NFLPA, which has a conference call scheduled for today. At Broncos kicker, meanwhile, Brandon McManus replied when Shefty tweeted about this, saying, "Be ready for one or zero preseason games, won't be two." He's not the only person I've heard speculating about that. For the moment, they're talking about two. Elsewhere, nine FC Dallas players and one coach have all tested positive for the coronavirus since the team arrived in Orlando ahead of the MLS's back tournament. The positive tests have called into question Dallas's participation in the tournament. Oklahoma has announced that a total of 14 football players have tested positive for the coronavirus as the team began voluntary workouts yesterday. Two of the 72 staff members tested also came back positive. And new Iona head basketball coach Rick Pitino suggested pushing the start of the college basketball season to January as a way to deal with the virus. Pitino also said teams should only play league games. So there's a lot out there. And then there's this. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks will be one of the favorites when the NBA resumes in Orlando at the end of the month. They had the best record in the league when play was halted. Yesterday, Giannis addressed whether or not there should be an asterisk connected to this year's champion.
I've heard a lot of people say that, the star next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, this is going to be the toughest championship you could ever win. You know, because like the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
And here he is, the one, the only, Stephen A. Smith. And this is something that we've been kicking around a little bit, Stephen A., for the last several weeks as to whether or not a championship this year would be tainted or would have an asterisk. Shaquille O'Neal himself said that he thinks it would. What do you think?
Well, I think that in all likelihood there will be an asterisk attached to it, but that doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing. First of all, let's speak in very real terms here. As long as none of the stars come down with the COVID-19 virus, the bottom line is that you're going to look at this and you're going to judge teams accordingly. You're going to say, may the best team win. But more importantly than that, what I've religiously been talking about over the last several weeks is that champions are not just made or based off of what they do on the basketball court. It's the level of preparation and dedication and focus that they attach to the equation that makes you really, really look at them and decide how to elevate them or to what degree you're going to elevate them. You knew that the season was suspended but not canceled, which means as a player, you knew the likelihood is that the season could potentially resume, which means it calls upon your professionalism, your tenacity, your hunger to maintain the level of focus necessary in order to put you in prime position to actually compete for a championship. So when guys come back, we're not going to just look at their ability to put the ball in the hole. We're going to look at their stamina. We're going to look at their physique. We're going to look at what kind of shape that they're in. We're going to pay attention to the level of chemistry and camaraderie that they try to develop via virtual or whatever the case may be in order to make sure that you put yourself in a pristine position in order to capture a championship. All of these things are qualities that we look for in a champion. And I think, obviously, assuming that the stars don't come down with the coronavirus, you're going to be able to judge them on all of those things. And whoever ends up winning the championship, the asterisk would be because of the abnormality of the season. But you would still appreciate the champion for being exactly who they are, champions, because you know what they had to endure to get to that point. And that's what it's really all about.
Right. I totally agree. The word legitimate is the word I would attach to this. If the Clippers get knocked out because Kawhi Leonard gets the coronavirus or something like that, then yes, obviously the entire thing starts to feel less than real. But Giannis, I don't think he meant it this way, but he used the word star. I actually think I would go that direction, Stephen. I think for all the reasons you just enunciated, that this will actually be a chance. And then considering the conditions of the country, both based on the coronavirus and the other circumstances now with social justice and everything we're talking about, I think this might wind up being the most meaningful championship that we've seen in a long time if everything plays itself out normally.
Well, could be, but also peel apart the words that Giannis used. Remember, it's almost cliche to hear an athlete talk about who wants it more. But in this day and time, those words come across as very profound out of the words of the Greek, out of the mouth of the Greek freak. Why? Because when he's talking about who wants it more, he's alluding to the kind of things that I just brought up. And that is, what level of dedication and focus did you put forth while you had this time off? Did you sit around and eat some crunch berries? Did you lax? Did you not work out? Did you not keep yourself in tip-top shape? Look at those arms on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Look at him. Did he look like somebody that's not ready to play at this particular moment in time? We've heard news about James Harden and how he lost 20 pounds, so he's ready to go, to get up and down that floor at the pace that Mike D'Antoni, who's elected to go with small ball, has elected to play. You talk about Russell Westbrook. We know he's a born assassin, and he comes out of bed every morning ready to ball. So we see these kind of guys. You see the kind of shape that they're in. But you also have to suspect that there are going to be other guys that are not in shape. They've been complaining about they need this time to get themselves prepped for playoffs. That's why they prioritize those 8 regular season games leading into the postseason. Those kind of things are the kind of things that the Greek freak was alluding to. Who wants it more? Those are words we should hold on to, because as we're watching all of this unfold in the midst of this pandemic, if guys do not have the coronavirus, we're going to look and we're going to judge who wants it more, not just based on their play, but their conditioning and how ready they are to actually play over the long haul. That's what we're going to be watching out for.
Okay, so we agree on that one. Let's see how we do on this. Draymond Green was on with Jalen and Jacoby earlier this week on the TV show in the afternoon, and he was asked about the Warriors' motivation to win another championship without KD. Here's what he said.
We're always motivated to, try to win championships, whether that's with KD or whether it's not. You know, there's no added motivation, with him leaving. We're competitors, we're champions, and we're going to continue to try to raise our level of play to that level in order to finish what we started. That started before KD, so it's not like, we need to kind of rally around this whole notion of KD's not here anymore. Like, we know what it takes to win a championship, and that's what we're going to rally around.
Draymond Green said there's no added motivation to win without KD. Stephen A. Smith, do you believe that?
I completely believe that, because they won a championship and went to back-to-back NBA finals before KD ever arrived in Golden State. So I think there's a strong level of legitimacy to Draymond Green's argument. But I also want to add, the greater motivation will be what transpired this season. They were 15-50 at the time that the season stopped, that it was suspended. Okay, we know that's not the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant was gone, but Klay Thompson was gone, and Steph Curry was out for a chunk of time. If Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were there, do you really, really believe that the Golden State Warriors would have been 15-50? A matter of fact, I wouldn't go to the extreme and reverse it, but I would tell you, in those first 65 games, it's not beyond the realm of comprehension that there would have been at least a 20-game difference, possibly a 25-game difference, and if Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were together. This is the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of basketball. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time. Klay Thompson is a top 5 shooter of all time. He is in the discussion to be a top 2 shooter of all time, because that's how lethal of a marksman, a sniper that he is. So again, I would tell you that I don't think that KD needs to be the motivation, because I think that they know they're contenders without KD, maybe not champions, but clearly contenders. And if they don't have KD, they'll get another piece. You add another piece to a healthy Steph and Klay, they are right back in the championship picture, because they are as a backcourt, the Splash Brothers is the collection of the greatest snipers, the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of basketball. There is no question about that.
I don't agree. I don't disagree with them being great, but I don't agree that they will not be keeping a very close eye on each other, the Warriors and Kevin Durant, in the same way that I believe Tom Brady and Bill Belichick will be keeping a very close eye on each other. And I think in particular, Kevin Durant has extraordinary motivation to legitimize, if you will, the 2 championship rings that he is wearing by winning one without those guys.
Well, first of all, see, Greeny, you pulled the Max Kellerman here. You tried to switch the narrative. You asked me about Draymond Green and how to go to State Warriors.
I think they feel the same way.
I know
KD. I think particularly Draymond feels the same way.
There's no way. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not even close because Kevin Durant never captured the championship until he arrived in Golden State. And even in the 3 years that they went to the finals and the back-to-back titles that they won, even though he was the NBA Finals MVP, averaging 30 on better than 50% shooting from both the field and three-point range, the reality is that he never won until he got to Golden State. So having the Splash Brothers as his teammates definitely helped. They won before he arrived. He did not win until he arrived.
Yeah.
It's two different scenarios, Greeny. You're wrong here.
You know what? They won when LeBron single-handedly took them six games in the finals. If Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love are healthy that year, do the Cavaliers beat them the way they did the next year when they had 73 wins?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Well, no, I don't think so. But you got to remember, you're talking to somebody that would remind you that if it wasn't for the stimulus package that the NBA gave LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers by suspending Draymond Green for that game five, remember that game that he got suspended, Andrew Bogut got hurt in that game. So did Andre Iguodala. And if Andre Iguodala hadn't been hurt for the rest of the series, they might have still won. Even though he played in game seven, he was clearly hobbled and had been missed games five and six. So we can't forget that. Also, you have to pay attention to the fact that, again, we're talking about Kevin Durant, who had not won until he got to Golden State. And even though Golden State, you could question whether or not they would have won the title, they still got to back-to-back NBA Finals. Kevin Durant was in OKC. They got to the finals in 2012, and then he hadn't been back to the finals until he arrived in Golden State. There are two different scenarios. I think Kevin Durant is one of the top two players on the planet Earth when healthy. Might be number one because he's that lethal. But there is no question that his situation is entirely different than that of the rest of the Golden State Warriors who were there winning championships or winning a championship and getting to the finals twice before he ever arrived. Those are not equitable situations. You can't compare the two.
Maybe not in the eyes of the public, but maybe in the eyes of the individuals. In that interview, Draymond Green used the words KD or mentioned KD like over and over and over again and kept repeating over and over again, we won without him.
So,
I think that is important to them and to him. I only have a second. I think
it's important to Kevin Durant,
yeah,
but not them.
Okay. They're telling me that I have to go. See, this is what I like. I get to come on every now and again with First Take. I get to argue with Stephen A. Smith. It is a lot of fun.
Come on, First Take. You can get on First Take and get beat up.
All right.
You can do that.
Stephen A. in 17 minutes and change. Thank you, Steve. It's coming up next. First Take right after us. Again, special time today, 11 o'clock. That's followed by SportsCenter, then NFL Live and The Jump, then Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable around the horn. You see the rundown. SportsCenter comes your way in the evening. The PTI guys are there, and Scott Van Pelt with you to close up a very busy sports day right here on ESPN. Coming up, a key piece of the Chiefs championship team is threatening to hold out. Why Patrick Mahomes should be worried, like really worried, on the way. Get up, ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and we are approaching the franchise deadline. That means players on a franchise tag have till July 15th to work out a long-term contract. Dak Prescott signed his tag last week, meaning he will make over $31 million this year if they don't work out some other long-term deal. A.J. Green is also in that circumstance. Missed all of last year with an ankle injury. He got tagged this offseason. He's obviously looking to make a huge comeback. And the Super Bowl champion Chiefs tagged defensive tackle Chris Jones, who's recorded 24 and a half sacks the last 2 years, made his first Pro Bowl last season. And some would argue that beyond Patrick Mahomes, he's the most important player on their team. Now, replying to an NFL Network video about his contract the other day, Chris Jones hinted that he might hold out. He tweeted, "Or I won't play. Le'Veon Bell told me about this." And, of course, you know, Le'Veon Bell refused to play on the franchise tag, sat out a season, and wound up on a new team now with the Jets. So Chris Jones, of course, not the only Chief player who is looking for a big contract. Many expect the quarterback there, Patrick Mahomes, to shatter all NFL records with his next deal. So the question, I guess, is, are the Chiefs willing to rob Peter to pay Patrick? If you need me to tell you how good Patrick Mahomes is, you haven't been watching football the past 2 years.
Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic.
The Hall of Famer, Pat Mahomes.
The greatest talent I've ever seen play the position.
Mahomes is one of just three quarterbacks to throw 50 touchdowns in a season. He produced 12 more in last year's playoffs. That was the most all time. And he's the only player ever to win regular season MVP and a Super Bowl before turning 25, which he won't do until September. If you offered all 32 teams the chance to start a franchise with one player, he would get 32 votes.
If it's not him that I can't have, okay, give me a second cousin. Give me his uncle. Give me whoever that's related to him.
So, what is the problem? I'm glad you asked.
As good as Patrick Mahomes is, it's team football, not just one man driven.
A lot of your teammates are going to go the bigger the pie you have.
Football is a zero-sum game. Teams have only so much money to spend on players, and every dollar you give one is a dollar less to pay everyone else. Thus, it is not a coincidence that since 2012, five quarterbacks have started the Super Bowl during their rookie deals. Mahomes, Goff, Kaepernick, Flacco, and Russell Wilson twice. Also in that time, Tom Brady started in four Super Bowls, always on a discount. In fact, in none of his title-winning seasons has he ever been a top 10 cap hit in the league. In his career, Brady has made less money than Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, or Drew Brees. He also has more rings than the three of them combined. He is the last quarterback to win back-to-back Super Bowls. You know when he did that? When he was on his rookie deal. So, back to Mahomes and the conundrum. How much is too much for the best player in the game? Or, to put it another way, how much are you willing to rob from Peter to pay Patrick? And this is an argument we've had here a lot over the weeks and including today. And Diana Rossini is back with us to talk about just how important, because this is the perfect moment. Here's Chris Jones, who you guys all this morning told me is the second most important player on this team. Diana, why is this situation different from the Le'Veon Bell situation?
Yeah, there is no doubt he is a very valuable player who's looking to make in that $20 million range. And Greeny, there's only five defenders in the league that make that kind of money per year, right? Guys like Aaron Donald. But the two sides are very far apart at this point. That franchise tag is worth about $16.1 million, right? So we know he wants 20. So we're talking about $3, $4 million. Now, they were in this position even before the COVID situation. So now we obviously have a lot of factors that are being considered as they're trying to figure out who needs to be taken care of here. And look, if he walks or at least tries to do the Le'Veon Bell thing, which is sit out, it's very different, right? Bell was sitting out on his second franchise tag. If Jones wants to get paid, he'd probably have to do this again. And remember too, Le'Veon Bell, as much as he says he didn't, he lost money in this. It was money out of his pocket. Taking those year-to-year deals, that Kirk Cousins way to do it, it's the smart way to do it. So now we'll just have to wait to see if Jones is going to take advice from Le'Veon Bell or perhaps be smart and probably take the money.
What do you think, Dominique? Again, this is a fight that we continue to have. Right. Here's the second most important player on the team. You're going to pay him?
Right. I mean, I disagree with Diana a little bit. I do think that the guaranteed money, while it may not be a lot in 1 year, to have a long-term guarantee is more valuable. So I know a lot of people criticize Le'Veon Bell, but I fall on the side that it worked out well for him because in a dangerous position, he didn't lose money. And I think the same thing could be said for Chris Jones, who had some injury issues last year, that while I understand we're only talking about $3 or $4 million this season, We're talking about tens of millions guaranteed if something should happen going forward. And as for the question about paying him, like I understand the logic behind everything that everyone is saying, but I don't get it when there are special players. Patrick Mahomes is special, and so is Chris Jones. You pay your special players and keep them around, and you find other ways to make it work around him. He's not a guy that you should be nickel and diming unless you don't want to build your defense in the way that is currently constructed.
Do you know why, Damian Woody, so few teams win back-to-back championships in this sport? Because it takes special players to win one, and then once you do that, all of them want to get paid. And they can't all get paid in one place, so they wind up going to other teams. And if you're the quarterback, Tom Brady kind of figured this out somewhere early in the process. I'll take a little less. I'll keep a few extra players. It worked out for him. What do you think the Chiefs should do with Chris Jones, Damian Woody?
Well, Greeny, I think they should pay him. I think that what's complicating this whole situation is the fact that we don't know what the salary cap is going to look like next year. I mean, there's been talk that the cap could go down because of the pandemic that we're in. But if you're Chris Jones, you're sitting there like thinking, you know, I've shown you guys what my worth is. I mean, Dominic, you talked about this early on in the show about, you know, how the defense was when he played versus how the defense performed without. It was a clear, you know, it was a clear advantage when he was on the field. So if you're the Chiefs, this guy is really important to your defense. If he's not there, boy, that's going to hurt your chances this season.
Go ahead, Danielle.
You know, the one caveat to this, or at least something I want to add to it, whenever I talk to GMs about these situations, because, guys, I'm with you when it comes to Chris Jones. He is that good, right? It's always explained to me is too many guys want to get paid for what they did. And that's unfortunately not how it works. So you kind of have to always keep that in mind. As much as we can look back and reflect on how good he was and coming up with a big play that caused an interception in the Super Bowl, sometimes these organizations aren't looking to pay for that. They're looking years ahead. That being said, though, he is only 25 years old.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm for it. Dominique, I want to pay him, and I want to pay Mahomes, and I want to pay Kelsey, and I want to pay all these guys. So we'll play 10 against 11. It's that simple. You just, if they can figure out a way, we'll play 10 guys, and you play 11 guys, and that'll work out. Then we'll see if that's the only way to do it.
You got to stop perpetuating this false narrative that you have to make a single choice. There is a better way to do it. You can continue to draft and sign people well. We keep pointing out Tom Brady as if they just signed all these big free agents all the time. That's not what happened there.
All right, I am out of time. I am so out of time that literally they're rolling the bump whether I'm ready or not. Coming up next, will the NBA champion be legit? Stephen A. and Max will debate that and more. They're less than 5 minutes away right here on ESPN. Get Up has been brought to you by Disney Plus and Hamilton, streaming exclusively July 3rd only on Disney Plus. That's tomorrow. Start watching it. You're going to love it. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.